Hi, this is Aaron. Here's a preview of the next episode of Reimagining Liberty, which comes out in a week. If you'd like to listen to the full conversation right now, head over to my Patreon, where you can sign up to get all episodes a week early. That's at patreon.com/AaronRossPowell, or look for the link in the show notes. Now, here's what's coming next on Reimagining Liberty. Welcome to Reimagining Liberty, a show about the emancipatory and cosmopolitan case for radical liberalism. I'm Aaron Ross Powell. The ideologies that shape our world can be awfully weird. The one that combines the most influence with maybe the most weirdness is arguably rationalism, which grew out of backwater blogs to have the ears and influence the minds of people like Elon Musk and J.D. Vance. To talk about what rationalism is, why we should care about its beliefs and arguments, and the impact it's had outside those strange corners of the internet, I've brought back Samantha Hancox-Lee. She's a writer, game designer, editor at Liberal Currents, and host of the Neon Liberalism podcast. Who are the rationalists?
So that's complicated, because they are, in a lot of ways, a weird little corner of the internet that has kind of messily defined boundaries. They're sort of an intellectual tendency, I guess you could call it. And that tendency is most famous for probably two things. One of them is where the name comes from, the rational part of it, where, and there was also all over the early blogs that they really come out of, blogs that are called Less Wrong, for example, or Overcoming Bias. And the idea here is that we want to run our lives better, right? That we want to think better. We want to think more true thoughts and fewer false thoughts. We want to do more good with our actions. There's also these ties with the effective altruism community that we will almost certainly come back to. But there is this really compelling and also kind of minimal commitment that they start from, right? Which is that human beings are in many cases very biased, very irrational. But we are biased and irrational in recognizable ways, and with the power of reason, we can overcome that and be better people, better thinkers. That's where the name comes from. And then there's the other stuff, like the AI cultism, this sense that any day now, possibly quite soon, or possibly in the near to medium term future, we're going to develop a super intelligent AI, and that AI is going to simulate all of us in cyberspace. And that creating this AI in this future is the overridingly most important thing to achieve and maybe even to think about. And that takes people into all kinds of other weird rabbit holes. I don't know if that answers your question. Like I said, it's a complicated one, but that's maybe a place to start with.
Let's start with the rationalism part of that before we turn to the AI sci-fi scenarios, or maybe
okay.
Maybe inevitabilities are not sci-fi scenarios, but before we turn to their odd AI beliefs. So the idea that we should try to believe more true things than false, sure. The idea that reason, rationality play a role in assessing the truth value of claims, sure. That we should critically examine our beliefs, sure. But what is it about these guys that leads them to think they have a unique insight into that? Because the history of Western philosophy is the history of like smart guys applying reason, setting out arguments, and ending up in all kinds of places that we think are wrong in all sorts of different ways. Like not even consistent, like it's just like every philosophy, there's all these smart guys wrote out all these complex systems, and then later smart guys came along and said, here's all the problems with it, or I believe something entirely different for smart reasons and reason and logic and so on. What is special about this?
So I happen to agree with you, right? That like you said, the history of Western philosophy is this attempt to like do reason on ourselves to try and understand where the rationalists are coming from. We are going to have to talk about some of the foundational rationalist texts, like a long series of very long blog posts known as The Sequences, written by this guy, Eliezer Yudkowsky. And The Sequences start by kind of talking you through this little dialogue where I say I have a great test for breast cancer. somebody's got breast cancer and they take this test, 80% of the time, it'll be accurate and it'll tell them that they have breast cancer. So you take the test and it says you've got breast cancer. How worried should you be?
80% worried?
This is where they get you, because as you may know, that's the wrong answer. In fact, depending on the population, your age in the population, your overall demographic information, the actual objective rate of breast cancer can be quite low. And so a test that 80% of the time when applied to somebody who has breast cancer says, yes, they've got breast cancer. Let's say 10% of the time when you apply it to somebody without breast cancer, it also says yes, right? Because it's not a perfect test and there are some false positives. And if the rate of breast cancer in the population is like 1%, then like the overwhelming majority of positive reports are going to be people without breast cancer. And so the sequences opens with this little, not even a thought experiment. This actually turned out to be like an important piece of medical practice. And we changed the way we did breast cancer screenings because of it, not because of what Yudkowsky wrote, but because of this general problem that he's approaching. But anyways, the point is that you just engaged in the base rate fallacy. You walked through a line of thinking, and Yudkowsky, there's actually this great line. I'm gonna read it out from the sequences because it's very striking. He asks, "What is the so-called Bayesian revolution now sweeping through the sciences, which claims to subsume even the experimental method itself as a special case? What is the secret that the adherents of Bayes know? What is the light that they have seen? Soon you will know. Soon you will be one of us." And the idea is that as you work through this, as you commit a mistake in your own reasoning, and then he shows you that it's a mistake and he shows you how to fix it, it's compelling to a lot of people to have that experience of like being wrong and then seeing how you were wrong and seeing how to go from there. I don't know if that answers your question about what's distinctive about them. Because like, yeah, in a lot of ways, you can just say, oh, yeah, well, they're just trying to do reason. And there's all this existing body of work on statistical methods and experimental design. But the sequences try to elaborate this into a much larger philosophy of life and thinking and thought.
Well, this is where it gets weird for me.
That's right. I think, though, I'm going to just do a little judo and change the topic of conversation, because I think listeners will kind of be missing what's compelling about this. And I think to understand that, you shouldn't read the sequences. You should read a Harry Potter fan fiction called Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality, also written by Eliezer Yudkowsky, also very long. And you don't have to read all of it. But even reading a little bit of it, you will understand the emotional pull of this whole movement. And the real emotional pull of this movement is an experience that I think a lot of nerds will understand, which is the experience of having someone in authority tell you something that's wrong. And you can show them that it's wrong. And they say, shut up. Why are you arguing with me? And you know that they're wrong. You just gave them a good argument about why they were wrong. And they hated it and they didn't like you very much. And that's part of the pull of rationalism for a lot of people, is feeling alone in a world that's very stupid and that is full of unreason, and having it like in your own heart, like being so compelled by reason, right? That you have to do the things that reason commands, and finding this community of other people who feel that way, who have shared that experience, who have a very strong sense of what's right and what's wrong and why that matters, and they care about it and they made a whole community about it. And so I think I can understand, you know, I'm the kind of person who would be very at home in that kind of community, who'd feel like coming home in that community. So I think that's part of what makes it compelling to the people for whom it is compelling.
If that preview whetted your appetite and you don't want to wait until its public release to hear the rest, head over to my Patreon to become a supporter. You'll get all Reimagining Liberty episodes a week early. Go to patreon.com/AaronRossPowell or look for the link in the show notes.